call this meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. I hope we have a productive meeting here tonight. First thing we're going to do is we're going to have introductions of the rap.
Rob Morrison, Sportsman's Rap.
Kirk Woodward, Sportsman.
Andrew and Mara, non-conceptive.
Kelly Ware, public at large.
Bob Christensen, Fortress.
Brandon McDonald, BLM.
Mitch Hackey, Agriculture.
And Counselor, BLM.
Floyd Briggs, at large.
This will be Ron Morrison, and he's a Duchesne County Commissioner representative. I'm Boyd Blackwell. I'm the new eviction supervisor in the area.
I've worked with Floyd a long time. He's a good man. So if anything goes wrong tonight, it's all the same for him, not me.
It's all the same.
Yeah, that's the other thing, so.
We got quite a few in the audience tonight, so we'll keep this meeting running along. We'll go with the bylaws or whatever we've used in the past. On the comment cards, make sure you get them up here. The comment cards. Yeah. 3 minutes for an individual and 5 minutes if you represent a group. Mo's got a little stopwatch up there, we'll time it. Without any further approval of the agenda and minutes, has everybody had a chance to take a look at the agenda? Looks good. I was considering on the agenda to move things around a bit, but I believe we've got enough representation here. So, is that anything else? I'd call for a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes? Motion to approve the minutes. Mr. Chair.
Sorry, no second.
Rob, second. All in favor?
Motion carries.
Wildlife Board meeting update. There was not much deviation. I wasn't here for the last rap, so I didn't know really, other than by the minutes we had, the conversations went on, but ever since that, pretty much what was he there for? So, as far as an update, I think everything went just as our meeting went. Okay, we'll go to our regional update.
I'd like to start, as most of you know, probably all of you know, we're moving to a new building. So we're here on Vernal Avenue, right across the street from the Forest Service. Just give you an update of, first of all, how that's going. On the 10th, we're going to be moving our furniture into the building, and they'll start putting the furniture out on the 13th and getting it into the offices and the cubicles in the building. And they'll begin to pave the parking lot during that week as well. And then as we move on to May 29th, we'll be starting to move our personal things down into that office. And if everything goes well, then we'll be ready for an opening business day of June 4th. We're really excited about this new building. I think it's going to be a really good thing for us to be all in one area there in our own building and being able to move around and help our customers. The customers are going to know right where we're at. We're going to have a great entryway, and people will be able to come in and get help right away. So that's basically where that is for the new building. Our biologists are really starting to ramp up what they're doing now in fisheries. We're going to start our Green River Electro fishing on April the 16th through the 17th. And starting tomorrow, when's the 12th? Is that
today?
That's today. I think that sounded familiar. The kids fishing classes are going to begin today. And so we're going to be out there. They'll run 8 weeks. And we move around to a
couple of different lakes. And so that's going to be, that's kind of a really neat thing. Next year, we're hoping that we'll have our urban fishing pond finished up there at the old game farm. We're putting in a big urban fishing pond there. And that's going to be really neat. The kids will be able to ride their bikes up there. And before, it was just kind of an unused sagebrush and kind of an unused area. We're digging it out now, and things are moving along really, really well there. Our cutthroat crew will be at Lake Canyon working on the canal restoration and getting in preparation for aid collection for Colorado Cuts. In our wildlife section, this last wild, they did bear dens starting March 1st, and they went into a total of 4 bear dens. Two of them had new cubs, one den had yearling cubs, and one den didn't have any cubs in it. Just the mother wondering why the biologists are there. And then we have the ongoing survey work that's going right now. We've started our spring deer classification, our sage-grouse wet counts, and our animal burial survey flights. And we've also started our spring range rides and habitat assessments. And if you're interested in participating in any of these things, let us know. And we'd really love to have you come out and participate and get to know the biologists and get to know who we are and what we do. All you gotta do is give us a call and we can try and line something up and arrange something. So feel free to do that. Next thing that we're doing is for sensitive species, we're doing surveys for yellow-billed cuckoos. These kinds of surveys that we're doing for those are really important in keeping species from being listed, ended up on the list. And a fun example of that, right here in Utah, where we collected pika data and pygmy rabbit data, and all that data put together, the Fish and Wildlife Service is saying that that data is what's kept that species from being listed in Utah. So these surveys are really important, and that it helps us to keep some of these species from being listed. So I think that that's about it in the way of reaching an update for tonight. But really, if you're interested in doing any of these things, we really want you to come out and participate with us. Thank you, Mr.
Is the new program going to have a...
You know, I believe so. It has a really nice conference room in it, and we'll be sure to let people know. I'm confident that we could probably hold our RAP meetings at that building and in that room. So it'll serve a good purpose.
Great.
We'll work something out now. Yeah, this works really, really well. And I think we'll make the same arrangements in our buildings, as good arrangements as we can. The one thing about the building that we would be, the room we would be using there, it's at least this size, but it doesn't have as high a ceiling. So the sound isn't going to dissipate quite so bad. So we're going to hear a lot better with or without mics.
Alright, comment cards. We need to collect comment cards.
I was gone last meeting, I was in Vegas, and when we talked about them yellow-haired cuckoos, I
that's where you need to build a new survey.
Okay. What's bulls and what's lifetime, honeys?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of that. We presented a 2012 box bowl once in a lifetime permit on this and the rule changes. We'll start out with the general season part first and then stop there and deal with that first. I think that's a good agenda item. Even though my presentation will have all the box bowls and the rules, I'll stop there and deal with that first. First, let's focus on this area. This is a general season bar part of statewide safety value award. As you can see, it's been as high as around 28,000 bucks harvested with the long lot, 18,000 or so. The last couple of years have been fairly similar harvest. As you know, we've got quite a few tournaments, and that's why we reduced harvest the last couple of years. Okay, this graph basically shows our fund reduction trends statewide from 1998 to present. Really great fund generation to actually the population we're doing. Obviously, if you have good fund ratios, you can increase populations. Really, in Utah, looks from long-term data, looks like anytime you're above 60 pounds per million dollars, you usually are increasing populations. Once you fall below that, you're decreasing populations. So I think that varies a little bit from unit to unit, but overall, as a rule of thumb, you can kind of say that on the state side of business. The Bondo ratio trends, they somewhat track Bondo ratio trends, although they differ a little bit because harvest gives red flags this more than anything else. I put a couple of yellow dotted lines on this graph. Basically, the lower one shows the 13 bucks per 100 bells that we used to manage for, and then the higher one is the 18 bucks per 100 bells that if we don't make any modification to the plan, we would have to be above that. But as you can see, it would take some permit cuts to get above that 18 bucks per 100 bells. But overall, at least for the past 7 to 8 years, we've been within the range we needed to be on a statewide basis. Obviously, some units do fall below that one, but on a statewide basis, we've been easily within. Okay, so jumping into our general season permit recommendations. Basically, we modified the statewide plan last year to basically split the state into 30 units. Initially, it was set up to manage all of the units per 18 to 25 bucks per 100 bills. Since that time, the Wildlife Board gave us some direction to basically look at the 30 units and try to recommend different objectives on different units to try to not limit opportunities so much. So we did that trial and then basically did some first in-house stuff where we gathered all the biologists and managers and did some brainstorming to figure out where those objectives should be and what units should be different objectives. So if our recommendations that we'll be recommending here today, a mixed approach would require an amendment to the plan. So keep that in mind. So we came up with initially it's a couple of different ratios, categories of ratios, 15 to 17, 18 to 20. And then before we actually set those, we had some public input through email, open houses, or other comment through the regions. All regions were asked that to meet with the constituents and try to nail down what the public really wants on the team. So the way once we figured out we wanted a two-tier system, we basically then needed to figure out which unit should fall in what tier. And the way we went about that is basically we looked at units that when our harvest is traditionally high, these are units that usually have good access, well-loaded, mostly public land, tend to have higher buck harvest on those units because the bucks are more accessible. And those units would be harder to manage for an 18 to 20 doctor to go ratio because it would require quite a higher cut in permits to get to that objective. So we decided that those would be good units to leave us within the 15 to 17 units. And then we looked at some units that have either a large proportion of private land or have limited access, so maybe wilderness issues, not well limited. Those units tend to have high rental ratios even when permits are high. So we figured those would fit well into that objective. So those are the two criteria we use to at least as a starting point. But then the regions were asked to go out again and ask for input locally. On what units should be run, because even though they may fit into those criteria, the public in that area may want a higher deductible ratio or may want more opportunity. So our initial stab at it, just using those criteria, actually came up with a lot more units that were in the 15 to 17 than we do now. But the way it should got out, the public comment took place is we assigned 16 units to the 18 to 20 objective and 14 units were assigned to the 15 to 17 objective. That's based both on those criteria and public comment that we gathered through mostly informal open house meetings. Okay, so given what I just said about with the mixed approach, then we can figure out how many permits should go on these units given the objectives that we assigned them. And to do that, basically we had to come up with a starting number of permits. And the way we did that is we looked at our long-term data on these units. Even though we haven't been hunting these units, specifically on a unit-by-unit basis, we've always gathered the harvest data on a unit-by-unit basis. So we knew how many bucks were harvested on each of these units. So when we went back to India, because the last couple of years we had quite a few reduced permits, so we did the 3-year average of the number of bucks harvested on each of these units. And that's really the best data we have as far as how many permits were on there. So to back into the number of permits, what we did is apply the success rate of each of these units to that number of bucks harvested, and then added in the number of hunters that do not hunt. And then we came up with a starting point, basically, of how many permits were on these units given the objectives that they have now. And then to reach the new objective, we added or reduced permits based on that starting point. And this is the recommendation we have. And then the formula we used to increase or reduce permits was based on 10-year data on all limited entry and general season units, looking at how much harvest do you need to maintain a certain ductile ratio. So it's a really, a very methodical way of getting the right number of permits as a starting point. And then for both of these units, we picked the middle point of the objective as the target. So if there was a 15-17 objective unit, we picked 16 as where we want to be, not the 15 as it has been in the past. And similarly, the 18-20, we picked 19 as the target where we want to go. But we also looked at ourselves a little bit on units that were above objective. We did not increase permits more than 10% because we wanted to be on the conservative end of things. We didn't want to increase permits too much on those units and then drop up their ratios. But when it required a reduction in permits, we reduced it as much as it needed to get to objective as quickly as possible. Like we said, that's kind of the method we used to get to that point. It included a lot of calculations, a lot of public outreach, and basically this is what I will be presenting is what we came up with. So as I mentioned, there were 16 units that fell into the 18 to 20 range. All this is in your packet, so I won't belabor it too much, but basically I've kind of put alphabetical order and hierarchy of the 18 to 20s first. So, again, all this information is in your packet. If you need to go back to the slides, you certainly can. So, given that the permit numbers, I'll go through the summary of how many different permits there will be if you go with one route versus the other. So, being able to have these two objectives in the proportions that we suggested is not adopted. You can go back to the current plan, which is, has every unit 18 to 25. And that's always an option that's on the table. did this act and the wildlife board adopts the division's recommendation, we have a potential of 86,500 total permits. Now, along with having a mixed approach of some years being 15 to 17 and some years being 18 to 20, we also changed the reference split on Zoomers. So basically, we put a few more of the permits into the more permanent reference. And we did that by limiting, basically putting a split, 60% of the permits would go into rifle, 20% RT, 20% muzzle. That's the same split that we used for limiting the six permits. So we thought that was a good way to approach it. That way we could offer a few more permits without, obviously, as many products. So the way that played out is, in the last year we had 16,000 archery permits, this year would be 17,300, even though the overall number reduced a little bit. Rifle permits would be reduced a little bit from 58,000 to 51,900, and muzzleloader permits would go up from 13,000 last year to 17,300. So not only did we recommend a mix, we also recommended a little bit different split on weapon types as well. Which basically kind of gives you the highest number of permits you can have without really, you know, reducing the number of permits really. Okay, now, if this proposal is not adopted, basically the mixed approach is not adopted, go back to the plan as it exists, all units would be 18 to 25, and under that scenario, with the same 60-20-20 split, we could offer 80,200 permits. So you basically have almost the same number of RT permits, about 10,000 fewer rifle permits, and about 3,000 more muzzleloader permits. So if the hybrid approach or the mixed approach is not adopted, we could go back to the plan as well. So that, this would be the number of permits recommended under that scenario. Okay. Since we've gone unit by unit, we realized that by looking at the harvest, at the sales, the hunter and field data and harvest data, there are some units mostly in the probably northern part of the state that will have our two permits that will go under subscribe. So we deal with that to avoid loss of opportunity and revenue. We thought it would be a good approach to have the remaining our two permits become available as muzzleloader permits. September 17th. So this is prior to the archery season closing. So the archery permits that go under prescribed will still be available through the archery season. But once the archery season closes, they become muzzleloader permits. And then similarly, if there are muzzleloader permits still available after that, then they will become rifle permits. We don't suspect there will be a large number of permits that fall into that, but we want to make sure that, you know, we can have a whole lot of permits that could be used to harvest animals, you know, just sitting on the table. This may increase harvest slightly on some units, but that can be, managed for when we get our roughly better ratios back, and permits need to be adjusted on these units based on the different splits that can be done over a long time. Again, I don't expect a lot of these will happen, and the reason I don't expect that is because a lot of the archery folks get an archery tag to hunt the extended areas, and we may buy these tags on these units that are less desirable for archers just to hunt the extended areas of the units. That is just a fallback approach. That's all I have for that presentation. I'd be glad to take some questions for the screen and guys for the rest of the questions.
I guess one question you have. The formula that you set forth seems to me like the numbers that you're going to get are going to be relatively precise for each unit. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically the number we the way we've approached it is that's the number that we need to maintain that 16 units lower and 19 units higher. And we'll get you there and maintain that. Given the current population, actually populations increase, you have to increase permits, population decrease, you have to reduce permits.
Would it be advantageous to have more than the two options of objectives?
I don't see where the goals would come in. Basically, the reason we have two objectives is to keep as many permits as possible.
Right.
So I guess
I understand that.
If you go lower or higher, if you go lower, you can have more permits. If you go higher, you have to raise permits.
broad spectrum objective for the state that ranged between, that we take a big deep breath, between 13 and 20, or 10 and 20, depending on the age, because some of these units could withstand that, based on the information I see here. And then it was sent to the labs that each unit was to be determined on a more small spectrum. Would that be a more precise way to do this rather than just simply the two options?
Yeah. Certainly. It does complicate things, however, because you have many tiers and you can manage for a there would be a moving target. You'd rather have set objectives on each unit that we were not guessing that the unit where it should be. For us and for the public, this is the best approach because it doesn't need any guesswork. You know, this unit is being managed for that objective. Therefore, this is what we're shooting for in the long run. Given the way you propose, leaves it open to a lot of interpretation and we're just always guessing what's the objective going to do this year and things like that are coming. So, obviously it can be done, but it's just, it's a lot less structured way of approaching it and makes it our jobs harder and it makes it harder for the hunters to be able to predict what the students are going to do next.
What is the term on these objectives?
Basically, you know, the lack of the player, unless the most important thing is that you can maintain them. But I think, as you know, it should be revised regularly. As a division, we like to look long term, I think, instead of always changing it, because a moving target never gives you any good information.
I just didn't know if we had set in place that we would like to see this objective on this unit for X amount of years.
Exactly. We certainly would like to see it at least 5 years or more. Let me resume this, but the statewide plan is due for revision in a couple of years. So they could change in a couple of years, but we would recommend it in the state.
Okay.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Question. With the rental, such that rental, that the ratio has been quite low. So with the permit numbers that are suggested, that's pretty much what the division is thinking that the permit numbers will be to try to get that up to date.
We used to play a bit to get back to that objective. You know, a lot of things can happen in the meantime. You know, populations could be done if we have several industries in which you're going. So it could be raised at some point, but we feel this is a permit that's needed to maintain at least 60 bucks per ton of those places.
And then I've got a question on that. The plan is 18 to 25, and then the two categories, 15 to 17 and 18 to 20, I was on the 18 to 20. What was the reason for going 18 to 20 instead of 18 to 25?
So the rationale behind that is we want to be able to provide opportunity if we get a bus 20. The reason the initial plan was 18 to 25, it was adopted from the statewide plan that was in place before. And that was set because it was dealing on a regional average. There could be some groups that bring the average down, so we wanted the rates to be higher so we're not raising the number of permits while you still have one unit that may be at 11, but the overall regional average was 20. But, you know, that could happen in our case. So that was a reason for the large range. We feel a smaller range allows us to add opportunity to get populations to rebound instead of limiting the number of permits, basically. So a shorter range allows you to be more reactive to short-term decreases or reductions in populations.
Well, that smaller range, is there going to be, do you anticipate any kind of pickup middle range or just...
Will be somewhere within there.
I wondered about if it's too small within the ads.
Yeah, I don't believe so because we're still working on a 3-year average, so even if it goes down 1 year, the 3-year average should mitigate it a little bit. And then we don't anticipate having it turn around too much. Populations generally don't increase, deer populations specifically don't increase or decrease unless you have, catastrophic events that quickly. But they do decrease that quickly because of the catastrophic event, we really want to be more reactive. So it works in that way, but increase is usually a fairly slow.
just for clarification purposes, does the objective of bugs to go correlate to population size?
No, I mean, these objectives we've set are mainly to be able to, you know, the perception of what others will see when they go out back home. You can maintain a lower bug to go ratio and maximize reduction. But, most hunters, we found that once you're above 15 bucks per million dose, most hunters are happy with the number of bucks they're seeing. When you get to 18 above, even more hunters are happy with the number of bucks they're seeing. So it has more to do with the social aspect of hunting than it does with population growth.
I guess my question on that one is, based on the harvest report, what percentage of bucks taken annually are yearling bucks?
For the most part, because yearlings are the majority of the population every year, about 50% of the harvest is yearlings.
So socially, people are choosing to take a yearling?
Sure, yeah. The majority of the harvest are
yearlings.
Again, now when it is one that could easily fit the 15 to 17 based on the criteria that was moved up because of the public quality of the higher
level. No other questions from the back?
I've seen some individuals come in late. If you'd like to make a comment, we'll take your comment card. Bring it up here.
Just while they're doing that, can I ask one more quick question? You calculated on the 15 to 17, and 16, on the 18 to 20, use 19, and the 18 to 25, if we went back to, or if we stay the same, what number did you use?
It's
19.
Yes. Actually, it was my recommendation that if we stick with it, that we do modify that to 18 to 25, because we need to do the 18 to 25 and the 18 to 25. I think that it gives us room to add permits if we need to. And it's 18 to 25, pretty much have no room to add permits.
Yeah. Okay, comment card from Harry Haynes. Questions? No other questions? Before I confuse everybody as much as I am, we're doing this in sections, and right now we're doing the Okay. We have questions.
Would you please come up to the mic and state your name, please?
How far off is the population objectives? How far off are they on the population objectives?
It seems like the main concern publicly is the population size, not the racial.
Yeah, certainly. On the population level, depending where you are in the state, by the southern
units are almost too objective. A lot of the northern units are fairly below objective. Our objective statewide is 411,000. We've got about 280,000, so we're about roughly 320,000 to 330,000 below objective statewide. again, you know, here we're dealing with back headaches, so it's not going to affect what we do for how we reduce populations. Things we're doing to reduce populations, obviously, are habitat treatments, predator control, highway crossing things. Those are the things that are going to help increase populations. What we're dealing with here tonight is how we hunt the fox, which really has very little to do with how they're walking with population growth.
Yeah, I guess that's a good one.
Not at the levels we're harvesting.
Is your name, please?
I'm Bob Beal from Roswell. Sometimes I have work, sometimes I'm still at home, it's a waste of time. I live here, but I'm in grass. I'm addressing the board now. There's a second loss in the state. That doesn't say much for our game management policies in the past. We have the cluster, the phobia, and we have the second loss only to teeth. It's not even square in the teeth. I think that that needs to, as you move towards recommendations here, remember that. Even though all the guys are sitting there tonight, you guys are simply the same opinion. There is no deer here, and there's no reason for it. We got the best unit in the state, it was the northeastern area, as we all know. Now we're splitting the two units. We're just, hunter attitude right now is pretty low when it comes to the success you guys have done as a division of smashing our deer on the South Slope. I guess what I'm getting at is you hit us with about everything you can to make us stay home. 11 bucks per 100 girls is not good. But I'm saying, I guess what I'm getting at is keep the payments low, let the herds go back up. Don't worry about lots of opportunity. You've got lots of opportunity already. I would recommend that.
Time? This is question time, too. Comments come later, but that's fine. Any more questions? More questions? Comments from Rack? Kurt? No, usually we have public comment first, don't we? And then we do that, don't we?
Alright, I'm a little stale at this.
Okay, we'll go to comment.
Paradise?
Yeah, see, I'm a bit confused here. Make Paradise, I'm representing the United Wildlife Cooperative.
Got it.
I appreciate first of all, forgive me for having to include my notes. Once I hit about 57, 58, my memory just wasn't in good anymore. So indulge me, please. But I appreciate the chance for the rest of this rush, and thank all of you for your efforts in helping wildlife. And I also appreciate that the RACs not only listen to wildlife conservation organizations, but they listen to individuals as well. That has been lost on the general public for a while, and I'm hoping that the general hunters will come back and realize that they can attend the RACs and have the voices heard. I'd also like to thank the UN for their trial tireless efforts and formulating this year's recommendations. I know it wasn't an easy task, especially with this being the first year going to the hunting units. So my kudos to him. I know it's a really, really difficult. I have had a completely different view I want to present tonight, but I changed it a little bit. We blue deer hunters are extremely passionate. We're a very passionate group. And we have the animals that we have invited on. The great majority of us would do whatever it takes. So whatever it would take to help herds grow healthy and strong and maintain themselves, including cutting tags. If cutting tags was biologically sound and the science behind it
validated the necessity in that, we would all do it. That being said, the bucket bill ratios and the CAD numbers that this rack must be signed tonight have absolutely zero bearing on the health of our herds, on the well-being of our herds. It's strictly social issues. That's all it is, pure and simple. Please, please, please understand that. If cutting tags would help a herd that didn't have enough bucks in there to give it to those, well, heck yeah, let's do it. But that simply isn't the case. I attended the Southern and Southeastern RACs over the last couple of days. I really found myself shaking my head in wonder. Some of the folks were deeply saddened over losing their family and friends going to this new system. Some of them were downright mad and upset at losing even more tags this year, as recommended by Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife at those particular RACs. One spoke about how there's no more deer left. There's no more deer left in Utah. They're all gone. I know he's exaggerating, but they're not all gone. And along those same lines, the same person said that droughts and hard winters have nothing to do with it. It's all about how many bucks we're killing that's making the herds go down. And I just had to shake my head at that. Then the same kind of gentleman comes back and he challenges the division that they're not managing our wildlife to help them, then managing to make money and sell crabs. And that just isn't the case. I just got my head out, shaking it so hard after that comment. So sometimes our passion is badly misplaced, even though it's well-intended as hunters. Really, all across the West is stagnant, they're declining. And virtually every single state, time and time and time again, has cut tags. And the deer herds are still in the same shape. Let me remind you, reducing tags will not build a herd. If we want our herds to rebound, we need to address those issues. And there's a list about this long that includes those issues, and killing bucks, excess bucks in the herd, is way down here at the bottom. This year, all the labs are facing some really tough social issues and decisions concerning our buck to bill ratios and tag numbers, and I certainly don't envy the position. Not if you ask. We'll never be able to please everyone, no matter what we do, no matter what we do, but we urge you all to consider the hunters that you'll either give tags to or take away. And know that decision is not one born out of biological necessity or science, but one out of public desires. And those desires have been proven time and time again in this state to both proposed and recommended by the division. But the majority of gamblers in this state just want to get out to the camp house. So I just want to put up the hunt box. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
There's several comment cards here that's kind of Jim. So if you've got a card up here and it goes on to the next segment, we'll just step up. But any other comments? I have cards here. Like I said, it's pretty general. So this will deal with the numbers.
Okay,
this is on the boundary?
On the boundary? Making boundary?
Another segment, huh? That would be a different segment. We're working on the ratios now.
The one.
You can wait till later. The agenda topic on some of these, like deer northwestern region.
I'm Greg Gilroy. I represent Northeastern Utah Wildlife Coalition.
appreciate some of the comments that's been talked about tonight, but I am here to tell you that with the research that's out there, when you start getting down around 10 or 11 bucks, which is quite over the areas we have, there's some genetic dynamics involved that definitely do have an impact on your total beer production. And that is a proven fact when you start to get that low. And so we need to look at that very closely. Some of the things we're interested in with our organization is we're definitely against that 15 to 17 soft drink. We're willing to give back and forth. You know, last year we thought trying to get some greater beer numbers, went to that 24. But now we're right back in this area, almost giving as many tags as we did last year, when we are at those low ratios somewhere else in the state. So we think we need to at least stay right there with that 18 to 20 and see if it does make a difference instead of putting everything different here and there. How are you gonna decide what's working and what isn't when you have so many different patterns in, throughout the state to try to make a difference? So our recommendation is to not necessarily go at 18 to 24, but that 18 to 20 should be a statewide deal, because we should be managing to at least the 20 bucks, as Anise has talked about. And we all know that the buck go ratio isn't the true issue, but that's the management plan we're dealing with. And so when you work on that to do the best we can within our parameters, to do what we can do. But you look at where we're at and so the way some of these units are, and a 500 buck type statewide, that's kind of a waste of time. We really would like the right to consider, let's get the state all on board so we can see the trend instead of separating them and doing them differently. Let's go with 18 to 20 and see if it does make a difference with our breeding dynamics and some of the other issues we have with these low areas. I guess the question I have for you has some other areas, things about beer and what we've been through, but that would come at a different time, correct? So that, basically that's what we have right now, and like you said, we would truly recommend that let's get something that can really pass what our plan is doing to go statewide with 18 to 20. That will cut the tax a little bit, but it won't cut it as badly as the 18 to 24 did. That'll put us in a happy medium that I think could probably be workable for everyone.
Thank you. Anybody else? One more comment on this? It's got a card up here.
The Amcan Power from the Yoga Foundation and also with the Northeastern Utah Wildlife Coalition. I agree with the 18 to 20. I'd like to see it actually 18 to 22 bucks per 100 barrels. Where we have a little bit more leeway there, but I agree with that. Where we still have to have an opportunity for hunters, and we still have to cut our tags, because last year we went with 9,000 tags in this northeast region. Now we're about 11,600 tags in this region, and that even including the 9 mile over the Fort Kitta. So I think we need to stick with that, lower some tags, and still deal with other things so we can still have some opportunity that we've got with the deer herd population, because everybody that I talked to is ready to just shut, they want to shut it all the way down. Majority of people. Yeah, there's going to be lost opportunity, but we do not have the real population herd numbers at this level. I guarantee you that. Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to address you today. My name is Andy Adamson. I'm representing the United Wildlife Cooperative. Let's say we support the division's recommendations on 15 tag allocations, and we ask that you do the same. As you consider the buck-to-doe ratio objectives and their consequences, we ask you to keep a few things in mind. Our retention and recruitment is lower than it has ever been here in Utah. Schools are no longer closed for local deer hunting, and many of our neighbors now cry on the idea of hunting. We urge you to be cautious about adopting a management strategy that further reduces hunting participation. We believe this will be counterproductive, as it does nothing for the biological health of our herds or the overall population numbers, and only hurts our sport as we lose more participants. The single largest constituency for food wildlife management is the hunting community. Reducing tags to increase buck-to-doe ratios
only does a serious dispute and undermines the long-term viability of what hunters themselves realize in their mind. If we're going to plans about visiting Colorado, or we're about the high bucket air ratios, what we're going to hear about is that six or eight bucket air ratio objectives to current levels back in 1999 and drastically cutting pads, the number of beer hunters that apply for new pads in Colorado on an annual basis have been reduced by half, and the overall beer numbers have not improved. In fact, populations continue to decline. Many persons in the state are there. They continue to search for answers just as we do. We also have many hunters that are dissatisfied with the management plans that are calling for high bucktail ratios and developing deeper tag effects. We heard that some hunters say that they've been set out for several years, so when they finally do draw a tag, they'll have a great chance to harvest the mature buck. We already have those hunts in Utah in the form of living venture units. Complaints. When it comes to the wait is too long. Seems we want to keep and we'll leave it too. As this trend continues in Utah across the West, we will continue to see our hunting heritage come under fire, and it too may become extinct as we lose our former hunting constituency. We're looking to keep our general population units as opportunity as possible so that youth can stay involved and be able to draw tags on a regular basis, and so the families continue to hunt together as much as possible. Very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? With that, we'll move on to comments. Brad?
I like DWR's proposal. I think it's biologically in perspective. There might be at the upper end of the biological perspective, but anything more than what's proposed now would just get social. I don't know. I think they took much guesswork out of this. I think we should probably think about accepting what is proposed and sit on it for a few years, see how it reacts. That's how I feel.
This isn't biological. Period. This isn't biological. And I guess that's a question that I have that Mr. Burley brought up regarding research. Is that a nice question, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
To a biologist, is there a detriment to only having 10 bucks for every 100 does as far as bond generation, anything along those lines? Is there any substantial research to show that that's a detriment to the population?
The short answer is no. Most of the research shows you have to get down to 5 or 6 bucks per 100 does before you hinder food production as far as number. And then, just I'll give you a quick example on some research that's ongoing in Utah. In the Rare Mountains, we just started a new study down there to look at farm recruitment. So basically, they're going to find a person and begin their bond until they turn a year old. We just captured a bunch of does and pulled them with Roger Lowe's does to see when they dropped the fawns. And out of 69 does captured, 68 were pregnant. Get 11 bucks per 100 dollars on that unit. So it just goes to show that it is not. And there are lots of research similar to this has been done, both looking at high ductile ratios and low ductile ratios and how reproduction is affected.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to be. Another example I'll give you is right here in this region, the Buckles, is in the high 30 bucks per 100 dollars, yet found ratios in the 30s. So it doesn't. None of the data that says that, or research says that if you have higher ductile ratios, you will produce or recruit more funds. There's nothing there that says that.
Okay, thank you. Another point that was brought up is that recruitment is at an all-time low. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And in Utah, as the weather states, it's hunters are not being recruited into the hunting sport at a rate that's maintained.
Okay, so my comment to that. This is not biological, period. I can't emphasize that enough. We say it over and over and over again. This has nothing to do with the population, guys. I know we all want to grow our deer herds. I know we all want to do that. If that's the plan, let's add an extra $5 on the tag to go towards habitat projects. That will do more than any of these cuts ever thought of doing. If our recruitment is an all-time low, the future for hunting is dim. the less people we have to protect it in the future, the less chance it is it's going to continue, that it's going to perpetuate. So my recommendation is that we look at the units that have been recommended by the division. We look at them from the stance of where they're at and increased opportunity, because once again, it has nothing to do with population. It only has to do with social and recruitment and the perpetuation of the sport that we all love very, very much. Thank you.
Another comment. I disagree a little bit with Carrie, although I agree with her premise. I don't think it has zero to do with biology, because if we kill, what was our total harvest last year, Mason?
Steve,
I was
about 18,000.
If we kill 18,000 to 20,000, well, you know, that was a low year, and a high year is 28,000. So if we kill that many bucks, it does have some biology, some bearing on our deer numbers, our overall deer numbers, either up or down. We all hold those arguments. And I agree that this is social, that this is our hunting heritage. So when I got this rat pack, when I started to get emails, which I read every one of them, by the way, this cycle, I don't know how many hours I've spent reading emails trying to decide where the public and where they're from concerning our northeastern region. It's been a lot. So let me back up a little bit. Every day in my office, I talk about this. I talk to hunters. I talk to sportsmen. I have lots of pictures on my wall that generate conversation concerning hunting. And so I talk about our hunting heritage, if you want to use that. And since this cycle, since I got those emails, instead of talking and thinking about increasing our herd numbers specifically for this, I started asking about hunter recruitment. Why aren't we getting more hunters? Why are the kids not hunting? So I asked them when they started talking about hunting. I said, how come the kids aren't hunting? And my number one answer, and I bet I've asked this question 100 times, my number one answer was, we don't see enough bucks to keep them interested. And so if this is social, if this isn't biological, then we need more bucks to keep our hunters interested. And so if it's purely that, and it has nothing to do with anything else, then the argument, the same argument that you just made, is we need to increase our buck-to-doe ratio so that we keep our hunters interested in the sport. So from my small survey, I know that's small, that's not thousands, but it is hunters in the Luna Basin every single day. My number one answer was, we want to see more bucks when we go afield. I want to see my 13-year-old have an opportunity to see a number of bucks when we go hunting. So if this is hunter recruitment, we need more bucks in the field.
Yeah, I guess I can see Kirk's point, and I can see Gary's point. No, since I've been on the racket a while now, and there's always this same issue, going back and forth about opportunity and trophy. And a year and a half ago, we had a racket, and it was well attended. We had a bit more people here than there was tonight, and we talked about the same thing, and that's when we set this racket being on the 18 to 25 at the time, but there's, I don't know, just a little bit of history, I guess. For this region was a lot of, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and it was Randall, but under the old plan, it was 14,000 deer tags for this region, under the 97,000 cap statewide.
That one just right for the Mesimer.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's $16.
The archery is included in these well.
Right. So the 16,000 archery was
is additional statewide. So this is measured in Iraq. In 2004, there was a that fall, we had a severe winter storms, and there was a high harvest, and there's quite a premature deaths that were taken in this region. I think other places in the state too. And the recommendation for 2005 was to for this region to take 1,000 remote cut. And so it went down for this region down to 13,000. It stayed down at 13,000 through 2010. I know a number of times in between then and now, the division recommended those 1,000 permits to come back, and Iraq consistently voted to keep it at 13, which would be 1,000 permits, less than what was initially commissioned or allotted. And last year, the division recommended a 2,000 cap cut, preparing for the new management plan to take effect in 2012. And the RAC last year voted to double that cap cut to 4,000. And so it went from 13,000 and then as late as 2004, 13,000 and then down to 9,000 last year. So this region had a really gone down last year, went down 5,000 permits. This year, with the tags that are proposed for this year, I think it was mentioned in the comments, it was mentioned there's 11,600. But as Anise pointed out, that's also taken into account archery tags along with that. So there's also that there's a dedicated hunters in there too. There's another. That's right. That's the other thing I was going to bring up is the 9 mile military that cross region boundaries. And so the 11,600 archery hunters that weren't included before, plus the permits, some of the people that hunt the southeast region side of the 9 mile, and also the northern side of the north slope. So I think look at the 11,600, it's actually I think we're probably staying right close probably to about 9,000 for the region we had last year. And that's, if you look at that, that's a 4,000. You know, last year, that was a 4,000 tag cut. Statewide last year, it was a 7,000 tag cut. And that was right for mezzavoters. That didn't affect all the poetry hunters. And so just within the last year, there was a 7,000 permit cut statewide. 4,000 of those permits were out of this region. I guess I'm relaxing kind of on. I tried to remain unbiased and not say too much. And so here I am, voicing everything.
You got your time.
So, if you're okay, if I could just make a couple of points. I understand the trophy side of it. Myself, I like to see more bucks, big bucks. That's what I'd rather see out there. And I could see myself, I'd wait, like several people said, I'd wait 3 or 4 years to draw a tag for it and have a unit where I'd be able to see more bucks, more mature bucks. That being said, and there's a lot of people out there that don't agree with that, and I think they need to be accommodated as well. And when I also look at my boys, it's hard to see them have a reduced opportunity to go on the hunt because cut permit numbers, their percentage loss of goes down too, the percentage of the opportunity that they may have to drop. And the one thing I will say also is that, you know, I hunt every year in a general season unit. And, you know, I talk to guys that don't see any bucks, but, you know, we know our unit well, and we put our time in.
And you know, just even last year, my 14-year-old boy had a chance at a 26-inch buck. And he missed it, but he had his chance at it. He shot and he missed. And a nice buck. The general seen me, that's a nice buck. Heavy antler. That was on the reservoir, and we see them out there. They're there. There's some nice bucks out there, even on the general season units. Granted, there's not, I agree, there's not as many nice bucks out there as there was in the past, but they're there. So I guess to wrap all this up, I'm always working following the plan, the way the plan is. And I always hate to see change of plan before we even get a chance to implement it. That kind of bothers me too. But at the same time, having some units with a lower buck-doe ratio and other units with a higher buck-doe ratio, I agree it's a social issue, but it seems to make a little more sense to me than going statewide at a higher buck-doe ratio. So I yield my time to somebody else.
That's about it. Any other comment?
Yeah, I just got to get old enough that I can stop talking about the students.
You might have to turn the lights back on.
Yes.
Mike's talking a little bit about Diamond Mountain. Now, Diamond Mountain, too many years ago, was general season. In fact, it's pretty much like the forest.
How many probably good as the forest is now?
We have a lot of animals, a lot of does, a lot of elk, things all cows.
Same deal. I mean, if you look real hard, you can find your buck. You know, everybody has the opportunity, you can find your buck.
But the resources are there, the opportunities are there. The opportunity to be good to put down the resources.
I know the last year I saw it.
It's a forklift. I could cut for miles around and see a good shot. We do look at it down the line now. And we finally got with the DWR, with the Chinese guys. We started out with PHUs and then eventually worked into a limited entry. The first thing we did was cut the bull and the buck tags.
Hey, we got screwed there.
We had people come to us and say, you've taken our opportunity. You've done this to us, done that to that. Every one of you said, what are you doing with kids? You didn't have the opportunity to come here.
We finally started going bare.
We finally started doing this and this. And one big point I'd like to make is it didn't take that long to turn it around. The first 2 years ago, that we got PHU and cut the tags down, I was amazed at the bigger, nicer bucks that showed up that quick. And if you want to see the difference, you can go to North Style, you can go Fuel France, you go to Diamond Mountain. It doesn't have those drastic as we did on Diamond Mountain. But I've seen the difference. I've seen my place and other places on Diamond where there's just like the general season. Didn't turn it out. No matter what you, if we get, you put an opportunity management, or by resource management, we're going to do our business. So saying that, I'm looking for 18 to 20. I've seen the difference.
Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a comment. I did read through all of the emails that I did get also, so I started to tabulate the recommendations on the buck-to-doe ratios. And really, as I went through them, the majority of them were along the lines of the DWR recommendation. Even the one I got from the United Wildlife Cooperative used the same 15 to 17 or 18 to 20 ratios. They would what the vary was what units they felt would be a 15 to 17 or an 18 to 20. So that is just what I had observed from what I had here rather than reading those comments. It just seems to me, in listening to the comments from the public, DWI's presentation, that this kind of, their recommendation kind of hits the middle ground. It's kind of the trying to, you know, have the opportunity, but then also limit, you know, reduce numbers of tags to keep that butt-to-dome ratio population. So that's just my observation of what I received from emails, how I interpreted what I, as I've listened to you here, as a, what I kind of feel from your comments. Thanks.
No, I guess I put a different definition on the biology or social perspective, but I guess as long as we're all understanding the butt-to-dome ratios and what we're looking at tonight. So when I was going through the emails, that's where I come up with my own definition of the biology and social. We've got people, the public, for as much as I hate to hit all those emails, it's kind of nice and a good satisfaction because it shows the passion that people have. But we've got people emailing us, even phone calls, talking about $5 to $100. And I even got one email, I think yesterday or the day before, talking about $5 to $100. So, I mean, there's a wide perspective in there. So, I guess what I'm saying is, as long as Mitch, what DWR has proposed, I do like. So,
I want to make a comment. I've heard the statewide plans talked about, and I kind of feel like sometimes I like the unit, because unit by unit, because we can have more influence on how we manage our world. Not necessarily mean that's what we're going to think, but that's what our heritage and then we're hunting for us. And we have more of a chance to manage our own unit. So, one of the comments made, that's my point, that we need a chance to try it. I have other ideas, but we've been working on this plan for over a year now. So, I feel like it's worth a chance. Another comment.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think the hunters want to see more deer, and they want to see more bucks. And I would like to recommend to the RAC that we look seriously at going with 18 to 22 bucks per $100 per season, for the fact that I don't feel like this is going to be the solution to the problem, but I feel it's a start. There's other variables. We need to work on the predators. We need to work on the habitat. We need to find mortality. We need to work on that. But I really feel that this is a start. We've got to cut tags to do this. We get the deer herd back, then we can start issuing tags. There's just not enough bucks out there for everyone who wants to go shoot a buck. They just cannot do that. I feel that we've got to raise the buck to ratio for a start. I feel that we've got to limit the number of tags. And I would like to recommend that we look seriously at the 18 to 22.
Hey, Rob, is that including the rural South Slope, or is that just the four units?
I'd like to recommend that statewide.
Mr. Chair, can I follow up Grant's comment? Talk about opportunity. We see a lot of people going down just to see the deer. We see next year. If you start doing a few deer now, you create a better opportunity. And that opportunity will lead to interest in that. You guys see, if you could go out somewhere like you do Diamond Mountain, if you go up the forest and take us somewhere and just see a little bit, if you can go out to Diamond and see, you're going to see a lot of people getting out interested. It's not just hunting. People go there to see them, to see the animals.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, just to follow up your house.
Another point I'd like to make on that chart that you had up there, we did not cut that many tags. When it was, I believe it was 18 to 25, it was not a drastic cut. So I would like to, look at that proposal. Thank you.
I guess I just, well, I respect Rod's opinion.
Well, argumentative since you were the chairman.
Okay, I was going to say that with 18 to 25, that was down to 80,200, so that's it's, what, 6,000 less. But if you look at what was cut last year, too, that's number 7, that's 13,000. And actually, from the 97,000 cap, back in 2004 or 5, we were close to about 97,000 cap statewide. So statewide, it's actually down about 17. But I mean, I know what you're saying. But it had 17,000 was pretty good cut. But yeah, and then this, so it has to make a motion.
Call it a motion. I make a motion that we stick with the original management plan that we have of 18 to 25 bucks a dose. I don't mind the change that Anise said he would like to propose if we do stick with that, going to 18 to 22. Did you say 18 to 22?
18 to 22.
That's fine. It keeps us on the current management plan that we've been on, and it allows us to collect that data that we talked about, keeping it a long-term data. So my proposal is to stay with the current management plan that we have. With the change that the division recommended, that if we do stay with the current one, we go to 18 to 20 instead of 18 to 25.
So that's a second. I got a second. Can I ask a question about that motion?
Question on motion.
So if that's statewide, and that would affect all the units statewide, they have to just you have boosted up to 18 bucks statewide. Is that good?
That's our current
management plan.
Right.
But then maybe changing that to 18 to 20 instead of 20, because that would,
that gives them the opportunity to increase tags a little bit easier than if it's 18 to 25.
So you're proposing
18
to 20 or
18 to 20?
18 to 20. So,
Again, just going off the, you know, just the emails and that I got, and listen to the presentation, that there's a lot of public comment onto it. And so I'm thinking, you know, from a public standpoint, and then, you know, support is for the proposed plan of the 15 to 17 and the 18 to 20.
Along with that, I found the same finding from the public input that I've read, which is also countless hours. On top of that, there's also the data, specifically, just to point one out, would be the vernal unit that's historically had around 10 bucks for every 100 dose. Over the last 18 years, actually, the average was a group around 11. If we are to raise the objective to 18 bucks on that particular unit, the chance of ever regenerating tags ever on that unit is slim to none. Ever.
Well, I guess I would want with that motion. I mean, I guess the main thing is I think there needs to be some units in the lower Buffalo ratio, because I didn't read a lot of people out there that are looking for the opportunity. And the 20, 18 to 20 may provide a little more opportunity because they may increase tags earlier than 18 to 25. I was going to make a motion. I should learn my lesson. I know the motion, first motion to go, I usually do another passage, but in our region, South Slope, Little Diamond, I guess I would have went with the division's recommendation on that, and I would have actually gone to 18 to 25 or higher, that higher room, 18 to 22 even, on the other ones to try to gain some kind of a balance between the guys who want a better opportunity and the guys who want the trophy. But I'd rather not do a statewide. I think there's
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move on to the rest of the agenda. That's the agenda we deal with approximately once in a lifetime, other than the other season here. Now, I'd like to start with bringing the word to the earth. Basically, this is 2 minutes from the state, the Henry Mountains and the Palisadon. On this thing, we get to manage basically for two types of permits. We have what we call premium permits, which are basically managed for an objective of 40 to 55% of the bucks harvested should be 5 years or older. And then we also manage for a management buck management buck tag. These are meant to maintain a buck to go ratio below 50. So the objective there is 40 to 50. If it goes above 50, we can increase permits on management buck permits. Most of my presentations are color-coded, so basically the green on most of them indicates that we could recommend an increase. The yellow means we could stay status quo or have to decrease, just so we can kind of get an idea. So from what you see there, the Montpelier average on the Henry Mountains, there is a potential to increase permits on that unit. The Palisadon is within objective, so no increases warranted. Similarly, on the management buck permits, there is a potential to increase permits on the Henry Mountains, but not the Palisadon. They are within objective. given that, we are recommending a full permit increase on the Henry Mountains. In the statewide plan, they say we cannot ever increase more than 10% in any given year, and that basically is a 10% increase. The policy analysis is within objective and recommended union permits the same. On management buck permits, even though we could issue more permits on the Henry Mountains, the region there feels that they're having some cladding issues during that hunt, and they want to maintain the 30 to see if in the long term it will bring the buck to go ratio down. The Palisadon has seen a reduction in bucks to does, so they have reduced their management buck permits from 75 to 50, and it would remain to them to see how that affects buck to does ratio. So both of those, all of our recommendations basically are following the flow as presented. With the exception of the Henry Mountains, they could increase, but they chose not to due to the social issues. Okay, moving to limited entry permits, basically those again are managed on a buck-to-go ratio, similar to our general season. And the objectives on those limited entry units are 25 to 35. And then again, I've color-coded the units that could see an increase. If we wanted to increase in those Diamond Mountain booklets and the San Juan Elk Ridge. We did not recommend an increase on neither the Diamond Mountain nor the booklets. I think there was a slight increase on the San Juan unit. It shows a decrease in permits, and that's basically because the Thousand Lakes unit was pulled out of limited entry and was not available season, so those permits were lost. So basically, we had a total of 986 permits last year for limited entry. This year, we recommended 967. We need to add both general season and limited entry. We'll start with general season. In the statewide plan, it states that spike permits will remain at 15,000 as long as success rates statewide are below 20%. The 2011 success rates were at 13%. Given that, we follow the plan. We recommend maintaining that 15,000 spike permits statewide. We also recommend no change to general and no permit numbers with one exception. Basically, we would leave the 14,300 statewide any more permits that we had last year, and also the 300 youth any more permits that we had last year. When we increase, we recommend it was here in this region, but that late any bird hunt that this region has, we recommend changing from 15 to 20, so adding 5 permits for youth in this unit. That area, if you recall, was expanded to include more area, and with that, they wanted to add a little bit more opportunity for you. Okay, moving to limited entry permits. Basically, the overall picture for limited entry, a slight decrease in permits overall. We had 29,089 last year, with 29,056 left this year. This does not, however, show the big picture of the real details. There were actually quite a few decreases in permits on some of the units where we had the high, age objectives. Now, I'll go through those and kind of highlight some of those. So basically,
Two years ago, we increased objectives on a lot of our units, so now we have higher objectives and a higher steer. And those units are showing that we have either reached or surpassed the ages on those units, so we need to boost permits to come back with the age objectives. So on those six top tier units, we're recommending 51 total permit reduction. And you can kind of see that there. You also have it in the back of the specifically. Similarly, the second tier down, this is these units where we managed for 6.5 to 7 years in the harvest on average. Again, three out of those four require reduction in permits, and we are recommending 22 permits for those units. So we now move to the bulk of the units in the state that are managed from 5.5 to 6 years old in the harvest. These units probably comprise the majority of elk in the state. They're big units that have lots of elk. As you can see with the color coding, about six of those could use an increase in permits, and we recommend a total of 20 permits increase overall. Some of them have decreased and some of them have increased, so the total increase is 20 permits. That is just the lowest tier approvals that we manage for 4.5 to 5 years in the harvest. Again, those have, four of the six units require a good increase in permits, and that totals in 35 permits of increase. So as you can see, some of our higher end units were decreasing permits and new objectives, and some of our units were managed for a younger role in the harvest, so that means some permit increase. But the net result is a slight decrease overall in permits for limited NTL. Moving to Pronghorn. Pronghorn, similarly, not a big increase in permits, 658 last year, 665 this year. A few units are seeing some better numbers. Those units are mostly in the northern region, the Cache North Ridge. We're seeing a lot of pronghorn on that unit. And then also the Black Hills has rebounded and dropped back to the zone. So there are seeing a few more permits on that unit. Once the all-time permits, starting next, we have decreased moose permits in the state. We're seeing a decline in the ages of the harvested moose. We also have seen a slightly declining moose population in the northern part of the state. So we are going to be investigating some of that to see what's going on there. But given the decline in age in the harvest, we're recommending we use some permits to try to bump those ages back up. Bison permits, we were going from 20 permits last year to 60 total permits this year. The majority of those, with the exception of 4 permits on the book list, are in the Henry Mountains. That Henry Mountains, in the last few years, we were in growth mode, we were trying to get to our objective. Now that we've reached our objective, we need to actually maintain that, and it requires more permits to maintain it. So all but 4 of those permits are in the Henry Mountains, and as you know, 4 permits are in the book list. That northwestern part of the unit where we have the bison migrating off the tribe, and we want to take advantage of being there. We are hosting a few of them. Desert Beaver achieved green border reduction. There was actually quite an increase on the Zion unit in permits, but there were several units in the Santa Fe, north and south, which saw reductions in permits. They had populations that are declining with the desert sheep. Overall, there are three border reduction. Rocky Mountain Big Horseshoe, we have a 4 permit increase. We have some populations that have pretty big numbers in the basically in the southeast region, and they're recommending a few more permits this year.
Both permits have increased quite a bit from 133 last year to 165 this year. The majority of that increase in permits is on the beaver unit, the clutcher, and the willard beef on the outer unit. Those populations continue to grow at a large rate. They offered some really tags there as well as more in the upgrade. Okay, moving to some of the new changes that I will be recommending. This new change is geared toward muzzleloader hunters. In the past, we restricted black powder to black powder that did not contain nitrocellulose, based smokeless powder, or smokeless powder. There is a new product out on the market called Black 209 that contains nitrocellulose. A lot of personal folks looked into that to see if making that legal, you know, gives them a big advantage. They looked at the research and about it increases the velocity of the projectile about 5%. It means feel that that was enough of an increase to mandate it being illegal. So they've actually taken out the nitrocellulose part out of the rule, which allows hunters that use a muzzleloader to use Black 209. It is also a cleaner version, powder, which allows for different cleaning as a weapons of it. All of us need a positive in our view. The second recommended new change deals with the use of stocks to trail basically moving animals. So the new change reads the use of one metro dog controlled by a leech during lawful hunting hours and within 72 hours of shooting a moving animal is allowed to track moving animals as they recover. This provides a means for hunters to increase their chance to locate harvest and harvest weighted game and reducing decrease in moving loss. This is a lot of money on the level to use without moving loss because of their law. The last new change that we're recommending basically is to allow hunters that have two antlerless elk permits on the same area but in different seasons to harvest those antlerless elk in any of those two seasons. We had this come up last year where a hunter had two permits. This is probably a rare event, but had two antlerless permits for the same unit. He had drawn them and then bought them over the counter that was left over. But they were for two separate seasons, and he brought us to say, you know, can I harvest them for exactly one season instead of having to hunt both? Now, I thought that it was a no-brainer that he should be able to go, and I checked with our law enforcement and said, in the rule, it says that he cannot. So we amended the rule, we proposed amending the rule to be able to do that. So this amendment just adds analysts off to the rule where now they have to be able to help them take the harvest in the same season. That's all I have to watch in most of this lifetime. Thank you.
When you saw that chart you had on the increase on the limited entry bull elk permits, how big of an increase was that going to be statewide?
It was a decrease statewide.
It was a decrease statewide. Okay, I missed that on that graph.
Yeah, it was so 2989 last year, this year is 2956.
Okay.
That's that.
Maybe I missed it. In the packet it talks about the control. Oh wait, no, that's
it. Yeah, it was there. It was there.
Never mind.
So much drastically. Is it because of the spike hunt that you started down there, or is it what caused that such a difference going on in there?
lot of these units did not have as high of an objective in the past, and we were actually it's a target that we were shooting for was lower. Not having raised the objectives, we actually have to cut permits to get back up to that objective. So yeah, the spike hunting has nothing to do with that. Obviously, we've only been hunting spikes there for 3 years. These ages are, you know, 7 and older, so until we've probably been hunting spikes there for 6 years, you shouldn't see any effect. 5 or 6 years, you shouldn't see any effect on the ages of those. And the decrease, you know, is, you know, is 12 permits, not 3. So.
I just wanted to call it a vision. I see you have management hunts and stuff in the Foxconn and the Henry Mountain area only. And my question is why hasn't it been considered some of the other limited entry units, especially like the Oak Cliff, where you have a lot of permits? And we're seeing a lot of deer out there that have a manual type antler on them, where we give the possibility to still get hunter opportunity, but maybe make that unit a somewhat better trophy unit as well as maintaining the hunter opportunity. And I just wondering if that's being looked at as an option to help those units out.
Okay, so to explain why we do more premium limited entry and not the others, the reason for that is the reason we do more premium limited entry is we issue so few permits that buck to the herd ratio is probably above 50, and that's not healthy for the herd. So to be able to harvest more animals without affecting the quality of animals on the animals, we initiated what we call a management buck permit, and that's basically to take mature animals that may be 3 points on one side and reduce the number below 50 bucks per 100 dollars. The reason we do not do it on other limited entry units is because they are already below 50 bucks per 100 dollars. We do not do it on these two units to manage genetics or any other reason. The only reason we do it is to reduce the bucks to does without killing too many four birds or better. So, and it was brought up at this track in November that we look at doing it at other units, and we are considering it. It will be considered once the statewide plan is up for renewal, and we'll look at ways of possibly doing it on other limited units. Although it wouldn't fit as well because buck-to-doe ratios are not above 50, so you're not trying to control buck-to-doe ratios. We'll have to find out a different mechanism to deal with that and how we would set permits based on that. So it's going to be a little bit more complex to do it on units that we already have buck-to-doe ratios where we want them.
Would that affect genetics at all?
Doesn't
affect.
Because on open population, it's been shown that you don't harvest enough of those 3 points to really affect the genetics. And if you're harvesting them as mature animals and not the animals in 2-year-old breed in the population, that would negate what you're harvesting. So you will not affect the genetics. Genetics on a human are what they are. Genetics do affect on what you see out there, obviously, that have 2 or 3 points. But harvesting it at a life rate would not reduce the genetics.
Well, even the dogs themselves have been genetics.
Exactly. Half of the genetics have been the dog. So harvesting it half at a life rate is a lot.
Any other questions?
I just have a question on who determines if you expand or reduce the area size of the room? Is it the
We often make recommendations on boundaries. They are made, if it's warranted, usually extend when we change boundaries of, just change the boundaries of all of the general season units. So yeah, we make recommendations if it's warranted.
what would work to
I guess, well, that's part of the background for a little bit of entry in a certain area.
I wondered if anyone's ever recommended expanding the boundaries of Diamond Mountain or anything that would make it more public than that.
So I have not heard that.
So I guess I'm making the recommendation. I'm wondering what the rest of the public thinks about that. Perhaps expanding a title line, you want something to expand.
The recommendation is not something that we're doing at this point. Boundaries have been set during the controversy. It's really just the only thing.
So I guess I just want to bring up maybe to recommend addressing that issue to the match.
I could tell you the process to go through the recommendation.
I'm going to see what he comes down. On that and work with him and try and work that through before you bring it to the route. Sometimes they'll come through and recommend it for you.
All right.
Kent, I just got a question. You know, we're talking about opportunities. This is going to kind of go to the our business for the panel. You know, we've got all these signs we've found out one Muslim right in the Antelope, right? You know, we're all talking about different opportunities. Why can't they start another season statewide for a limited entry cost of the Muslims on the Antelope? I'm just, you know, trying to think of something like that. That's going to help give more opportunity to start a whole other season. But, you know, is it that simple for us to do that? We'll see.
So that limits one line permit opportunity is not the weapon type, it's the number of permits available because there are so few farmers in the state. The reason that unit has a multi-level hunt is that at one point there was so much above objective that they had to issue a lot of permits, and they were finding crowding in the rifle and archery season, so they decided to add a multi-level season to deal with that. We could do it with all the other weapon types, with all the other units. It would not add opportunity, however. It would just put more, it would take permits from rifle and archery and put them in muzzle loader. And there are very few, it doesn't seem like there's a large demand for a muzzle loader opportunity on the long board. Mostly in the archery, the rifle horse, you see you're kind of a long range animal or a sitting on water animal. So that intermediate weapon is not a lot of people ask for that opportunity. But the biologists I know, you did that a couple of years ago to try to spread crowding issue, basically. That's why that is. I guess I don't have a problem with having muzzleloader hunts on all the long-horned units and would not be an opportunity, however.
My name is Lewis King. I just had a question, and it's like, I'm looking at the numbers here. It's really confusing me and told me. At least on the board up numbers, I'm trying to recommend. I don't see a shift in 2012 having that momentum category. And I see an addition in that knowledge that I have. I don't know if I'm talking about that. Yeah.
So in the past, there's always a discrepancy about, it's always been 10% for non-residents, but it wasn't done the same way statewide. So this year, I made sure that was done consistently and that shifted things a little bit. So the way we do our split is basically, as I mentioned, 10%, but we do round up. So if you have 5 permits, you should have 4 and 1, 4 would be non-resident, 4 would be resident, 1 would be non-resident. And what happens when we cut permits or add permits, so you can even add up to 9 permits and still have a non-resident, or reduce down to 5 permits and still have a non-resident. So it is disproportionate when you add and subtract. And that explains some of that discrepancy. So you could still reduce permits, and most of that reduction would come from the residents because you're rounding up from 5. So say you had 100 permits, you could have 90 and 10, and you could have 50 permits, and you could have 40 and 10. So
The left hand stays the same when you cut bullets in half. Does that make sense?
And the reason we did that is because a lot of these units, we have so few permits that non-residents never get a chance to withdraw. So it's basically just giving them a little bit of opportunity. We're the most restricted Western states as far as no living and stuff.
That's why we try to have to stay from that 10%. We're trying to make it as we're trying to entice some more residents as well.
Thank you. Any questions? Anyone comment? Ron? This is for Hawks and Moons and number 6-3.
I've not been aware of the record of expulsion from Christian Hall of Passenger. Make this presentation. And about 30 lives from around the state met for 5 hours, so it saved you all a lot of waiting a lot of time. Just a couple quick things coming out. There's very clear coming out from solid. There's road for me defense highways. It's amazing how many dead moves and what can do on the road. And so I'll work on that with the governor's office every chance we get. Number two is I think that my representative Matt has helped get that $1.2 million. Start trying to get out in the coyotes. There's a continued commitment to get out of habitat for deer that I think coyotes are late this year. So he did a lot of work to do that, and we'll see what it looks like. On the elk hunt, we just have one recommendation to look at tonight, and I'll pass a piece of paper on Mr. Minute. There's 27 elk units. We agree with the division on 23. I met with the director and went over some data on 4 of them, and we presented one in the southern map, one in the southeast, and one in the southern. So I have a great base. One we're going to look at is the boat course road area, and I've got a piece of paper for you to look at. So I'll just try to walk through this, maybe what we need to get on the power communication. But anyway, as you go past that top line, the 3-year average on the road area for the boat course is 6.8, which is right in line with the management plan of 6.75. But the problem is, if you look at the last 3 years, you can climb from 7.2 to 6.7 to 6.4. So if you want to flip the chart, I always like graphs, like you understand graphs, the next page, you can see that you're already below the management objective of 6.75. You're on 12.5% decline rate. And so, from our view, that is a problem. Even though your average is right on, you're below and you're headed deeper, unless you have permits. So we're all for opportunity, but we're also for people in the management objective. So if you want to go back to the front page, the divisions have 138, 255, and 153 permits recommended out there. So that's a fairly flat line. We're below objective, and if the trend continues, we'll continue to decrease the average age. So I looked at a whole bunch of the units, and at least I didn't put in the Marmol because I know that's an anomaly, because the average age is probably going to drop. So I didn't look at that, but just look at some of these other units where we're below objective. You have to cut, like on the Vermont, where you cut the tags 23% over 326 more. So it depends on the decline rate on each unit. It's a 30 to 40% reduction in permits required, sometimes just to stabilize. So getting through to the bottom line on what you said, I looked at this in a fair amount of detail. And bottom line, we recommend between 100 and 110 permits in the boat course low area, not 153. We believe that that will put us more in line with the objective. And each time I can talk to you a little bit more, I thought I wanted to. And the problem I see in the model is it's a 3-year average, but you got to look which way you're going if it's an exceeding one. So that's our recommendation. I'm answering questions.
What is the 5-year trend?
What is the 5-year trend?
10-year trend?
Did we change that or did we not do it?
Yes.
You can't really look at long-term trends, I think, because the objectives have changed and changed with it. So it is on these units specifically, since we've only been managing for these objectives for the last 2 years, it's best to just look at the 3-year data. On some of the others, we do look further back that haven't changed, but this one is pretty well keeping it. So, I tend to agree with Don that, that the last year did dip a little bit. Our valves didn't feel from his experience like that. Really, that wasn't the deepest. But, it's got a lot of say where you could be in a range of
I guess I feel that judging on the 3-year trend, the way that the graph looks, that looks scary. You also have to consider that your x-axis is relatively low, which makes that a very steep decline.
Mathematically, the decline is representative. You're still below the line, and you're going further down.
Absolutely.
The axis.
And I think that it's accurate in showing that what the decrease is. My issue is, if we start making changes, radical changes, every year that there's a steep decline, on these 30 units, when we go back to gear, that's going to be a little bit unnerving. So I agree with you that there's a radical decrease there that we do need to address, and that maybe we do need to consider a larger cut, but a third of the tax seems relatively radical to me.
If you look at the last page, I did it for long, and like I say, I looked at about 8 units where they had the one decline rate and then have to either stabilize it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take 2 or 3 permits, it takes 30-20% when you want to have it. So that's, trust me, we want as much opportunity as we can, but we have these super quality units are supposed to be our management objectives, and based on our math, that's what we need to be. So, any other questions?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm Ken Powell from the Uber Foundation, and on the objectives of what's going on in the Brookfields, on for the management hunt, we've got tags of 100 tags or 150 tags on the Brookfields. My suggestion is that it's a 50 tags for you for an opportunity. If you want to take something with your gear out better, eat one of the good features to help out with your gear and put 50 to the public. We've got 150 tags down there. We need it. Which would kind of help bring it together. I know we're working on that, but I think we need to consider that. Also, the dirt off the grid, down, pretty heavy down there, And I think we've done some stuff about the amount that I think we need to address. But I think that I'm going to agree with on the Green Mountain, that we need to do some work there. Also, with the spike hunt, there's a lot of stuff going on with that spike hunt on the Brookfields that I think that I agree with we need to cut out, because with this, you can say all you want, but the decline of the yellow, just because that spike hunt, I've been out there the last few years and I've seen a decline ever since they've had that spike hunt going on. So that's a big issue there. And I agree that we need to do some drastic with that spike. I know they had to adjust with the spike program that's going on down there. It's really hurting the overall numbers on the up down there. And they're scaring all the up out of the Brookfields down to the Little Eddy. And I know that's part of the problem that we're having down there later. We've got that woman swallowed a bunch of help out. We're having a big problem down there because we've got to try to land. And everything else is hurting around there. Bring out some output because of the problems down there. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I agree with the, why that's so
population that they're coming up with and everything else that's going on. And so we've got geographics change too with the 19 points and stuff like that.
Relates to limited entry applications. And so to meet that, we're restricted to choose one species. That's what we're doing once in a lifetime. If the division will let us move about now for the first time in the long time community, or will that let us use specific parameters, why can't we put in for an elk, a deer, and an antelope for 7 years a year? If you pull all the hunters, and I get pulled all the time on the telephone, I'm just where I go to find the way I was going to get 100 feet and 191 I was. Why can't you pull the hunters and ask them if they would like to put in what we used to do for all three species? We'll get almost 100% from you. I'm a Gene Cartwright, says, well, if you part from one or the other, you have a higher chance. We don't care about that. But almost zero chance anyway of drawing something in this. So that's one recommendation I would make to that and to the board. Second one is dealing with baby boomers. With Bethany's point that we now have in the state, you've got maybe two times you can hunt a limited entry in a hunting lifetime, maybe three. As we face the baby boomers, there's a lot more baby boomers per capita that reach that we've got to hunt two times, and then they go on a 5-year suspension for a deer, can't do anymore, or elk, correction, probably, three for deer. You've just taken that grandpa out of the hunting pool, and when they do that, they take his sons and take his grandsons. So I recommend to that, that you recommend to the board of the UC Woodmakers, two things. Let's draw those three permits, let's try to draw in the pool over here. And then the other one is that the preference plan that now, preference plan systems that now exist in the state of Utah, takes out more hunters than the brain. I think there needs to be a pool there where the older guys don't just give up. Because when they're driving, if you're 16 and you're out doing that, you're eventually doing well in the middle of the country in Utah everywhere. Thank you.
Some of that area was originally
the number plus the fill ratio, which is the volume. So how much oil do you want to load? We're using the Green River, Highway 40, Colorado Line, and the Financial Mile. So we can hold that area for 3 to 5 years. So we get the gear back up there so we can get
counted. I just think that you remember when you were talking about boundaries in December. And I don't know where this would fall. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, that could fall under an emergency closure for its county done. And you guys could recommend that if you wanted to, it should be addressed by the board.
It's an issue with principle. When we're talking about boundaries, we're unanimous with our boundaries, we have a lot better chance of doing the law after where's the step. And when we talk about closures, I would suggest when the deer committees and drug committees and all the committees meet, that people would get involved in things like that and join your committees. And stand up then and talk about numbers and closures like this, complete closures. Then I think you started a process that does more good than coming there and kind of blindsided us, I believe, with this. It's not that we don't want to deal with it, it's just we know if we go to the wildlife board and 50-50 split, the wildlife board, I'm thinking that it might go over the top of the head. They got enough to deal with it. So, you better get organized with some of this.
It's hard to see to try to address these issues with the biologists and the wildlife managers and that can get them to understand what you feel needs to be done. And then, like I said, bring it to the rack when you think an area needs to be closed ahead of time, like Lawrence says, working through the management plans. That works, and that holds a lot.
Has there been a biologist up there to do a study on the deer herd in Colorado? I mean, have you talked on the board?
We do some classification up there in the fall with our deer classification and whatnot, that really more specific study.
And are the numbers there?
Well, I've never seen a lot of numbers on the mountain deer as I have it. I guess what I suggest is maybe we can start working with you guys on this proposal and region and discuss it with biologists in that area, what you're looking at, and then maybe next in November when we talk about the boundaries more specifically and maybe closing this area, we have a little better information and we can do a work about that way. Would that work?
And here's a good example. These are things that's going to be fixed this year or next year. That a good example is down the mountain. We're going to work several years ago on that. And I think down the mountain, people are pretty happy with what they have now.
So, and that's basically what we're keeping off of. If we're looking at what they did.
Okay.
You said it's kind of drastic. You want to take something, you want to bring the deer back
before we get to the public. So I think the better place to start would be with your biologists, your committees, and then go from there or talk to somebody that's from the Environmental Association.
You have two members here today.
See if we can get this thing under control and see if we'll actually have a bearing to help out
on the issues that we have in, down there in Hattiesburg, that no way on this, on the, in that area, deprivation total, we were told in that meeting, if all those landowners turned into damages, they could probably exceed the total state budget for deprivation that's in the country. So, that's just up to the other, so we'd like to see that outcome just continue. That's all I have. And again, I'd really like to support that, that the SFW law may prevent it on that. But let's stop that down in the spiral as quickly as possible.
Good call. Will call it?